I'm really torn on what to do today, as almost every day, I'm really torn. And so let's just do something. It was, last week we talked about, what did we talk about last week?
The faith.
We talked about what faith looks like. You guys remember this? We talked about faith. It looks like something. It's easy to talk about faith, but it always looks like something. And faith looks a little bit like sacrifice and surrender. And we don't like those terms a lot of the time. We prefer faith to look like blessings and abundance, which I actually believe in. Is this me again? I put batteries in today. Okay, just cutting out. It's not the batteries. Okay. All right, we'll talk about it. Megan, is it okay if I kind of put you on the spot today? It's okay. I shouldn't, like, me asking you is already putting you on the spot. What are you supposed to say? You're like, no. I'm like, oh, it's like, I don't know. But man, oh man, I'm talking about what faith looks like, and then here Megan comes in this morning, and she comes in and talks to the worship team a little bit, and she says, Thursday, you find out that this class that you've been teaching as a teacher, you're being forcefully removed from and forced into another class that nobody wants. And I'm sitting here like, Lord, I feel like everyone I talk to is getting hammered right now. And maybe you're not, praise God. But so many people are just getting hammered by life. And I'm like, when will you give your people rest? When will you give your people rest? I'm so tired of it. I remember on the worship night we did a couple weeks ago, that was like the word of the Lord to me, was like, Lord, when are you going to rise up in strength and do something here for these people who love you? Are you guys with me so far? Lord, when are you going to give us rest? And you know what he told me? I mean, I don't know. He said, your rest is never going to be circumstantial. I give it to you in spite of circumstances. And he said that it's what faith looks like. It's actually in times of struggle when faith actually comes alive. And that's what it looks like. And so I was preaching on faith, and I feel like the Lord has been saying to the church, like, it's actually, you know how many times Jesus said, your faith has made you well? He says it all the time. And I'm like, there's something about it I think that we missed a little bit. And so, anyway, Megan was saying this, and it reminded me of a time. What I'm saying is how there's so many people are getting mistreated by people. How many of you have ever been mistreated? All the time. We're being mistreated by people. And I think sometimes we think that if we're praying to God to give us rest, and what we mean by that is, Lord, help me not be mistreated anymore. And I remember years ago when I was working at my wife's family's business, and I don't know if I could get, should I just get a microphone? I'll just give me that. This one should work. All right. And I was working at my wife's family's business, and I'll just be very, like, open and transparent. There was my aunt-in-law. So I was working for my wife's grandfather. He started the business. His daughters were in the business. And my aunt-in-law did not like me. Okay? It's me, right? I'm a great nephew-in-law to have. A lot of people didn't like Jesus. I'm not Jesus, but, like, that's what he says. It's like, hey, if they don't like me, guess what? They ain't gonna like you. and didn't like me, was definitely threatened by me, jealous, because I was doing well, and in a family business. How many of you have ever been a part of family business? Not too many people. We got one. It sounds good. It's not good. Ever. And here my dad and I are trying to do it here at this church. And we're hoping it works. Because it so often doesn't work. It's going to work here, though. It's going to work here. But man, it's just because feelings get, you know, the people closest to you are the ones who can hurt your feelings the most. They're the ones who have the most power to offend you, the closest to you. And so, you know, as I was finding success and I was traveling with her father, it ignited daddy-daughter issues, right? And it was like, oh, now he likes Nate, and blah, 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 and all this stuff's going on. You guys may be able to relate to it or not, I don't know. But it was causing all these issues. And it came to a head one time. I'm not going to go into all the details because I actually have something to go to. But this was all free. This was just for free. You know, you'll get what you pay for later. But it was it came to a head one day where she openly and outwardly was trying to mistreat me, just obviously, you know. And she was the president of the company at the time, so she had the power to mistreat. The power to offend. And she very much offended me and was causing a lot of issues. And I thought it was going to hurt my ability to make money because I was in a commission-based only thing. And I was like, oh, her actions are, not only are they offensive, but they're now going to cost me. They're going to cost me real money and all sorts of things. It was going to cost a lot. And you have to relate to me on this. I got really angry, okay? Really angry at how I was being treated. And I verbalized it to some people in the company. Rookie mistake. Rookie mistake. And I go home and I'm fuming in my own mind. Have you ever done that? You say so many things in your own head in pretend conversations that you would never say when you were actually in the moment with a person, right? Like, but man, I told them off. Boom, 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 boom. I am so confident in my head in pretend situations. And it was during this fume session, meditating on how I'm being mistreated and wronged, was one of the first times the Lord showed up in my life in power, okay? And he shut me up. He shut me up. And I'm by myself. I've never experienced anything like it. I'm in mid-pretend conversation with pretend people, telling them off, fuming. Literally, the world's about to end because of what was done to me. Are you guys with me? That wasn't true, but the world is about to end because of what was done to me. I was very deceived in that. And he told me, he shut me up, and he said, Nate, who's been your provider this whole time? You or me? And I said, well, you, Lord. And he said, what, you're missing an opportunity for faith. You guys following me? This is what he said. He said, you missed it. Oh, I'm going to let you go in, but you missed it because what you should have done was here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in tomorrow with joy. I want you to go in tomorrow with joy. I want you, and watch as I pour out abundance on your life in ways you could never imagine. As you have joy, in spite of the mistreatment. And so I humbled myself. And I come back in fully in my heart, like, I've been corrected. I was wrong. I'm going to come in with joy. And I'm just going to worship the Lord in this place. And I believe that in spite of the mistreatment, he can provide in ways I could never imagine. Okay? And I come in ready to do that. But guess what happened because I opened my mouth? Word spreads as to my reaction. Word spreads as to my reaction. And not only do I have to come in with joy, but I have to repent in front of the person mistreating me. And I have to say, I'm sorry for how I responded. And I've, you know, in the moment, I felt like I had every right to respond the way I did. Because it was true mistreatment. It's obvious. And I said, I had to go like the dog with the tail between the legs to the boss who was already mistreating me and say, I'm so sorry for how I responded. You're so right. And she chewed into me. She chewed into me. It didn't change the relationship. She still hated me. I serve the Lord. I do what he asked me to do. Are you guys with me? No matter the cost, I do what he says. I think some of us are like, well, if I go in and repent, then she's going to like me now. Sometimes, maybe, but sometimes he just wants you to walk in the faith. And this is what I mentioned even last time. There was something about the early church that almost welcomed mistreatment. They almost looked forward to it. I think we talked about that last time. It was almost like, hey, when I'm mistreated, that opens up an ability for me to have faith that I couldn't have had otherwise. And it opens up a possibility for God to show up in my life. And anyway, thanks, Megan. And I just, yeah.
Couple things. One is, in my prayer time, previous to Thursday, I'd been praying, Lord, when adversity happens in my own personal life, I want to be faithful. And I want to be able to trust you and not get bogged down in the circumstance. So that was my prayer. I just didn't know. You're right. But I knew it was a dangerous prayer. And I'm going to be fine. I have wonderful kids in that class too. Amen. I have a handful that I'm, you know, that will be maybe challenging, maybe not. God can come through in really great ways. And I've seen it so many times, so I know he's with me. All the workload that I'm going to have, he's going to provide. And I have great support. And absolutely, yes. And who knows what the reason is why I am doing this. So just wanted to kind of wrap that little part up.
And that was the one thing I was going to say, too, was like, for Megan, even to be able to do this, it's like, there's probably kids in there who need Megan. You know, there's kids that need her. And this is one thing that when you get into the will of God and he starts working in your life, it may not always look pleasant at the time, but when I get my eyes off me, I can minister to somebody. I remember even just this last week, just these funny little things, and this is why, I mean, we'll get into something, I think. But I went to the barber this week. Did I tell you about that? Went to the barber this week. Like, you know, three guys walk into the barber. There's a Christian, I'm just kidding. I went to the barber this week. I go to the downtown barber, right, you know, and I see Jay. I always like getting my haircut by Jay. He's the only guy who knows my head, okay? Tried everybody else. They don't know how to cut hair. I'm just kidding. And I had to go to a workout. I work out with a buddy at 9:30 on Tuesday morning. So I dropped my kids off at 8, and then I was going to go get a haircut. I put my name on their online little list, and it's taken forever, and it never comes up, and I'm like, it's like 9:00, and I'm like, I better decide if I'm getting a haircut today or not, and it looks like Jay's not gonna be able to do it. So I go sit in this other guy's seat, I don't even know why I did. I wasn't even planning on doing it. It's like the Spirit of God made me do it. And I'm sitting here in this other guy's seat, and he kind of sucked. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He's one of God's children. No, I mean, I could tell when he was cutting. I'm like, he ain't doing it like Jay. He ain't doing it like Jay. And he was, it's like, is he here? Good. Is he watching? I'm just kidding if you're watching. I'm just having fun. But, and the reason I say that is because he's asked me what I do. He's asked me what I do. And I'm sitting here talking, oh, well, I pastor a church now at Family Faith in Eudora. We're talking all about it. He's saying, well, obviously he hadn't been going in a while. And so I'm in this chair. I can tell the haircut. He's like, is this about as good as Jay? And I go, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On the money. And he's way slower than Jay. You know, so I got to run, and it's like tick, 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 tick. I'm like, all right. And anyway, this is just a funny story. But I'm just saying, like, you change your perspective with faith. Because you're like, okay, Lord, what if the whole point of me being here was talk to this guy? What if, and so I was late to the workout. I was stressed about that. And I was like, well, the haircut wasn't as good. I still give him a big tip, and I bless him. And you're just like, when you walk in the faith, you're always assuming that God is doing things with you. Whether it's good or bad. Whether it's a good haircut or a bad one. I know that's a silly little thing. Are you guys with me? Am I helping anybody? I'm just merely saying, like, you just don't know what's in store for when, you know, even in these little struggles or the big ones in life, what he has in store. He can redeem anything. He can redeem anything when it's offered to him. When it's offered to him and off your shoulders, he can redeem it. If it's clutched to and you try to manipulate and control your way out of it, there's no redemption. You get whatever you can control, whatever you can grip at. And so we offer it to the Lord by faith. That's the faith. Are you guys with me? That's what it looks like. It doesn't look like, oh, I believe in Jesus. I mean, that's the start of it. But it looks like how you live is a perspective that you just live by. And so I'm gonna dive in. So we do have baptisms, and I hopefully I won't keep you too long. I've got so much I could say, but we are gonna read from Luke chapter 5. We're gonna read from Luke chapter 5. I think we're gonna start in verse 1, and it's gonna be what does faith look like? And I'm gonna start reading. Do we have that mic? Okay. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then Jesus got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And Jesus sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Peter, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let them down. All right? And when we're going to talk about this. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all. They just left the fish and followed him. What does faith look like? Looks a little bit like that. Which kind of sucks. I mean, it's also awesome. It's also awesome, but oh man, I thought faith was sitting in the pews on Sunday. I didn't know it had anything to do with that stuff. It's like Jesus didn't say, yeah, if you have faith, make sure you're at synagogue on Friday. If you have faith, make sure you're at synagogue. You know what I mean? Looks a bit like that. So, looks a little bit like that. Anyway, so Simon answered, and if we go back to verse 4 and 5, it says, when Jesus stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. You know, essentially, what is going on here with Peter, I think we can relate to him. You know, Jesus says to go out in the middle heat of the day. Now, I am no fisherman. I am not a fisherman. When do fish like to bite? I literally don't know. I'm actually asking. Like, when do the fish like to bite?
Dawn and dusk.
That's what I thought. Dawn and dusk. They don't like to be up at the surface of the water when it's hot. At least I think so. I don't know. I'm clueless. But I think that's how it goes, right? And so Peter is essentially saying, like, there's so many things we could talk about here. Jesus says, bring it out in the middle of the day, the heat of the day. Go out into the deep water where they're, and then put your nets down. And he just leaves them at that. And Peter's like, you're going to embarrass me in front of my friends. There's that. Are you guys with me? There's nobody else on the lake, Jesus. Do you know why there's no one else on the lake? Because their fish are done eating. They're not at the top. It's like, this is what following God looks like, though. Are you guys with me? It always is like this. It's never not like this. This is what's unfortunate. Because we would be like, he's like, hey, Simon, tonight when you guys are going to go fishing, go fishing. And then you'll catch some fish. And Peter's like, yeah, that's what we're going to do tonight. He's like, that's what we do at night. And then, no, but Jesus is like, no, in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, go out there and go fishing. And we're like, this makes no sense. On top of which, it was inconvenient because they were already done for the day. They had their boats pulled to the shore. They're washing their nets off. It's already done. And it's now, not only is it doesn't make any sense, and not only are his friends going to make fun of him for trying to fish at the heat of the day, now he's got to get his nets back out. He's got to go back out there. He's got to dump them in the water. And then he's not going to catch anything, right? He's not going to catch anything. He's done this many times before. He's not going to catch anything. And then he's going to have to bring everything back. The friends are going to laugh at him, and he's going to wash his nets off again. This is what's going to happen. But God. Are you guys with me? That is the only faith. That's the only faith that exists, is this faith that says, Lord, it doesn't make any sense. The fish aren't going to be out there. My friends are going to make fun of me. This. And we have our list in our mind of what we're going to say. And then what does faith do? It says a sentence that I think you should really get used to. Nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. And that is faith. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. I remember, and so they do, of course, and they catch all these fish. I hope you guys can follow along with me. I mean, I'm just saying, how much have we missed out on in our life because we've refused to listen to his voice and obey because we think it doesn't make sense? Are you guys with me? We miss out on so much because we just don't listen and obey. And some people are like, well, I wish God would talk to me. And I'm like, I don't know if you do. Because if you talk to him, he's going to make you go out in the middle of the day and dump the nets in. Are you guys with me? It's like, that's what he's going to talk to you about. And you're like, that's not going to make any sense.
And then he's going to see if you're willing to obey. And so you literally look at him and you say, Lord, I've got this problem with what you've said. I've got this problem. I don't even know if this is your voice. I don't have any idea. I mean, it might be. It might just be me. I don't know. And then at some point, you got to realize, like, well, I don't think my voice would tell me to go dump the nets in at the middle of the day. You know what I mean? Like, and so, or like, so there, here's what you say. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. What if I heard wrong? I think we're going to be okay. Are you guys with me? I think everyone's so afraid, like, what if I heard wrong? What if it wasn't actually God? What if it was just me? I think you're going to be okay. Because I think all God wants is your willingness to listen and obey. So what if you did mishear? He's like, that's okay. We'll get it next time, Tiger. But at least I know now that you're willing to listen and obey, even when it doesn't make sense. That's what I'm trying to say. So many people, like, well, I just don't hear God. It's like, he happens to be the voice that tells you to do all things you don't want to do. He wants to bless you with a big catch of fish. It just always comes after you're willing to have faith. What does faith look like? And unfortunately, it looks like things that don't make sense. Are you guys, are we okay? Is this helpful at all? I remember, I know we're doing baptisms today, and I'm going to talk, I think next time I preach, I'll pick up maybe on the story that I'd started last time with the story of this church, which is a story of faith, which this church is founded on faith. It's called Family of Faith. It's just, I think God is trying to get us to join in the faith. Each one of us. To join in the faith, but it looks a little bit like sacrifice, looks a little bit like surrender, it looks a little bit like release, looks a little bit like doing things that don't make sense to you. That's the unfortunate side, but there's so much power in it too. And I remember the same type of thing last time, or years ago, when we were doing baptisms years ago. I've already told this story, actually. Back when we were doing baptisms, what, like 5, 6 months ago, whatever it was. And I remember I kept feeling in me that the Lord was asking me to go get baptized again. And I had a lot to say to the Lord about that. I had a lot to say. Here are some of the things I had to say about that. Here's my list. Number one. Well, Lord, I already did get baptized whenever I was a kid. So theologically, I already did it. Second, I'm the youth pastor at the church. What is everyone going to think when the youth pastor goes to get baptized? They're going to be like, they let anybody preach to the youth here? The guy's not even baptized. Been preaching for 8 years and he's not even a believer till now? They didn't let anybody up here. Secondly, it was, yeah, I mean, I guess on that same line, like, what it was certainly like, what are the people gonna think of me? They're gonna question, like, what are you getting in the water for? And I had some excuses. I ended up doing it because what I said. I don't understand why. Nevertheless, at your word, I will do it. At your word. Pride always seeks to understand before it will obey. Pride requires that I understand everything before I listen. And you know what faith says? I will listen when I don't understand. And that's all it's ever been. Without exception. Without exception. Every time. Humility is the breeding ground for faith. Pride says, unless God gives me a good reason. So I made up a good reason, by the way, because of my pride. If someone asks me, I'll just say, oh, I don't really remember my first baptism. So I thought I'd do it again. I'm not that humble, okay? I have some self-respect. It ain't good. Thank God, I needed a little more juice. Oh, man. Are you guys with me? I'm just saying, don't be surprised when as you start to commit more fully to following the Lord, if things start to come your way that you don't understand. Because he's going to see, is this faith that you proclaim actually real? Or is this just going through the motions? And I felt kind of convicted to say a little bit on this line too of, if you haven't had recently a moment where you've said, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. That's probably a sign that we haven't been walking in that much faith. Whether that makes you feel good or bad. It's Super Bowl Sunday! Are you guys with me though? Like, that is the statement of faith. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. And it's hard to hear God impress things upon you and speak to you when you don't have much of a relationship with him. So I feel like that's usually step one. Go get in his word. Start praying. Start to seek him. It doesn't have to be a ton if you're just starting out. There's like stages to this. Take some steps, some baby steps. Get with him. Seek him out a little bit. And then don't be surprised when he tells you something that makes you say, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. And it'll be small things or big things. It'll be whatever it is. Like he prepares you with the small things for the big ones. Like Abraham in the Bible was prepared all his life for the one moment of faith where he was asked to bring Isaac up the mountain. And it was building blocks. And at that time, you'll notice when the Lord said, Abraham, I want you to come bring Isaac up the mountain and offer him back to me. Abraham had finished all those years before of all his complaints to God. And you know what he did this time? It wasn't even a nevertheless. It was at your word. Why? Because he's found out through a life of faith that when God speaks, I obey. And I don't even question it anymore. I'm like, early on, like, I've questioned almost everything God's asked me to do. Is that okay? I've questioned almost everything that he's asked me to do. Some people, as I've said, some people are like, I really want God to speak to me. And I'm like, I think he will. I think you should want that. But it's like what Megan says, dangerous prayer. Dangerous prayer. Because those of you who know my testimony from this past year may remember, to be honest with you, he hasn't told me one time to do anything I wanted to do. Never once. I have all these things I want to do, and he's the one who tells me to go do this instead. And so I'm like, just be careful. You say, oh, Lord, I want you to speak to me. How can I say this? When he starts to speak, the first steps that I think he brings us through are oftentimes humbling us. So that when the pride starts to die within us, the self-consciousness, the fears of what people think, the worries, the anxieties, these things start to die off at his word. Actually, more specifically, at your obedience to his word. They start to die and you become free. Are you guys with me on that? His word brings you to freedom every time. It just looks like something. And it looks a lot like, nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. Are we all right? All right. It was like whenever the Lord set me free from, I'm going to wrap up here. It was one of those things, it's funny, like a pastor, like, I'm just going to preach till the Holy Spirit comes. You know, it's like, no one even laughed at that one. that might actually happen. Oh, man. Anyway, it's like when the Lord set me free from pornography. I talked about that. I'm like 12 months clean. Praise God. I never thought I'd see the day. All right. What I'm trying to say, though, is it took faith to be free. It took faith to be free. And it just happened to look like taking steps that I didn't want to take. That's what the Lord asked me to do. Take steps I didn't want to take. And then he set me free from that. And I didn't even, at the time, I didn't even want to be free from that necessarily. I mean, of course I did. But I had bigger things I wanted him to solve, I thought. And he's like, first we got to get rid of some of these things. First we got to get rid of some of these things. Then we'll work on these things. He's got a plan. And so, like, I went to a men's encounter end of January, and that's where all this happened. But I came hoping he would tell me what to do with my career. Didn't give me a word about that. Did not give me a word about that. But he did set me free from something I needed to be free from. So that then, later, he could talk to me about what he wanted me to do. And then even in that, it was, I want you to go through some very difficult conversations that you've been avoiding. I'm not going to go through the whole testimony in the business that you're running. And I had to sit there and say, this could end really badly. This could end really badly. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll do it. And then it looked like I was about to, the word was, go talk to the family and say, the Lord spoke to me. He says that I either need to leave or I need to buy you out of the business. That was the word in the business I was in. And I was like, once that cat's out of the bag, cat's out of the bag. And so, you know, I went in and I walked through that, and it looked like they were going to sell me the business. I was like, praise God, every time I obey, good things happen. Woo! I'm going to get the business. Then we get towards the end. Some things took place. The Lord spoke again. So, Nate, the only reason you think, he called me to ministry in between that. I'm saying I had to take these steps, and I still didn't know what I was doing. And then he spoke to me and said, I want you to go into ministry. I'm summarizing this. I preached for a whole 45 minutes on it earlier. I'm just summarizing it. And I was like, well, you called me to ministry while I'm in the process of buying a business. One other thing to note, he talks to you at the most inopportune times. Always. Straight up. Just listen to me. Are you guys with me? It's what it looks like. And it's just always at inopportune times. And so then I'm sitting here like, I guess I'll buy the business because I think that's what you want me to do, and then I'll do ministry as well. I'll do both. By the way, I'd been doing both for 13 years. Like, I'd been the youth pastor and running the business. I just thought I'd just keep along that track. Are you guys with me? Thought I'd just keep doing it. And then at the tail end of it all, he said, Nate, the only reason you think you're supposed to get the business or that you're still supposed to buy it is because you don't want to have any faith. And there was way more to it. Go back and watch from July when I preached on it and told all the details. And you also were like, Nate, everything you've ever done in life has required you to benefit in some way. Everything you've done in life has required you to benefit in some way. I'm teaching you love. I want you to do something that's not going to benefit you for the first time in your life. And you'll learn to love the way I love. Are you guys with me? It's a harsh word, but it's so true. And I had thought I was a pretty good guy. But when he shows up and he talks to you, that goes out the window. You're like, oh. Anyway. And so he asked me, I want you to leave. I want you to resign and not buy it and leave with nothing. And hope you guys aren't bored. I'm just trying to say, I'm wrapping up, but I want you to leave with nothing. And I show up to a meeting with the other three owners of the business, which are family, and they have the contract for me to buy the business signed. And I have to say, I'm sorry, I resign. I can't do it. The Lord said no. And on top of that, I'm sorry for leading you through all this thinking I was. I was actually just selfish. Are you guys with me? I didn't think I was selfish. I didn't think I thought I was just doing the right thing. But whenever the Lord speaks, it's the humility that he's after. And then he calls me into ministry, and you've seen some of the fruit of that. But I'm like, yeah, there's just something about faith that just makes it not about you anymore. Are we all right? It's just something about it that makes it, that creates this selfless love in you, because you just trust God. You end up getting to a point where you say to yourself, I don't think I need to care so much about what ends up happening to me. I think the Lord is going to take care of me. So that frees me to focus on some other people. I'm free now that I'm in the Lord's hands. Are you guys with me? I'm free now. That's what faith does. It gets you freedom no matter what the circumstances are. This trust in him. Amen? Amen. Amen.